welcome this blustery, snowy, windswept morning as we gather together to proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior of the world. Let us begin our service this morning with the singing of our first hymn, Sovereign Ruler of the Skies.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, January 25th, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Terry Biggs. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is Sovereign Ruler of the Skies, which is printed in the bulletin. The Kathy Beaver Memorial is sponsoring the flowers on the altar today to the glory of God. The family of Dorothy Haseley is sponsoring the radio broadcast in honor of Dorothy's 100th birthday on February 13th.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You search out my path and my lying down.
And are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue.
Behold, O Lord, you know it altogether.
You hem me in behind and before.
And lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
It is high. I cannot attain it.
Almighty and everlasting God, your understanding comprehends all things. You see how your creatures have departed from your wise design. You know the desires of all humankind have become entirely unrighteous. Our thoughts and words and deeds worship us above you and serve self instead of one another. Yet your Son has assumed our feeble nature and feels our weakness and need. For the sake of his sacrifice, remember us in mercy. Lay not your hand of reckoning upon us and grant remission of all our sins.
Amen.
Where shall I go from your spirit?
Or where shall I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there.
If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning
and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
even there your hand shall lead me,
and your right hand shall hold me.
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me,
and the light about me be night,
even darkness is not dark to you.
The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, you pursue us in jealousy to the ends of the heavens and earth. We cannot flee from your judgment nor hide from the punishments we deserve. But your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, has traded our guilt in exchange for his glory. His death and resurrection have brought us the light of life everlasting. Drive our evils away from us with repentance, forgiveness, and faith, that we may behold your goodness now and forevermore.
Amen.
For you formed my inward parts.
You knitted me together in my mother's womb.
I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well.
My frame was not hidden from you.
When I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them.
The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them.
How precious to me are your thoughts, O God.
How vast the sum of them.
If I would count them, they are more than the sand.
I awake and I am still with you.
Children of men, do not fear. Incarnate Christ Jesus has come among us, sharing both womb and world, plumb the depths of the earth, plunder death and the tomb. Take heart, for the Almighty Maker has created, redeemed, and called you his own. Upon your confession in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God.
O men of blood, depart from me.
They speak against you with malicious intent.
Your enemies take your name in vain.
Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord?
And do I not loathe those who rise up against you?
I hate them with complete hatred.
I count them my enemies.
Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Try me and know my thoughts.
And see if there is any grievous way in me.
And lead me in the way everlasting.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Lord God, our Father and Savior, open our hearts to receive and delight in your wonders. Open our lips to rejoice and proclaim all your works. Strengthen us in flesh and spirit to refuse wickedness and replace the lust for control with your own truth and love. Give us courage to rescue the vulnerable and compassion to relieve the victim, that together we may share your life.
Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 801, How Great Thou Art, hymn number 801 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Testament reading from the book of Job, the 10th chapter. Remember that you have made me like clay, and will you return me to the dust? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? You clothed me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. You have granted me life and steadfast love, and your care has preserved my spirit. Yet these things you hid in your heart. I know that this was your purpose. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading from Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. Now it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder and of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim to the mountaintops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. Therefore you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard the gospel of the Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with the singing of our hymn.
The hymn is number 790, Praise to the Lord the Almighty, hymn number 790 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Sermon text this morning. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Thus far the words of our text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this Sunday, as you can tell from the front of your bulletin, is Life Sunday here at church today. And, of course, for a Christian, every day is Life Day. Christian doctrine teaches us that our lives have dignity and they have worth precisely because they are a gift from God. We are to care for life. We're to care for our lives and the lives of others from our conception all the way to a natural death. And when it comes to life issues, and by that we mean conception through illnesses, through all of life to a natural death, we are always to care and never to kill. Therefore, when we as Christians cast our thoughts upon issues such as abortion rights and the right to die movements, we stand firmly opposed to them. Yes, it's true, and an abortion supporter will use the language of choice. It almost sounds noble and good. However, the language of choice is deliberately obscure and deliberately vague. What is the choice? Right? Somebody says, I'm pro-choice, I'm for choice. Well, what's the choice? That's a good question. The choice is between that of life for a preborn human being or the murder of that same person. That's the choice that is being made. To try to deaden the conscience even further by arguing, they may even begin to argue, like, well, when does somebody become a person, right? I mean, when does personhood start? Do you become a person at 4 months gestation? Do you become a person only after you're out of the womb? Do you become a person only when you fully realize that you are an individual who exists? Maybe a two-year-old isn't quite a person yet. Who knows by those definitions? Our definition of person is once you're conceived, you are a person. You are a person. They use benign terms such as fetus and other language that would intentionally dehumanize the new and developing human being. And at the other end of life, the same battle is engaged in. Last year, as we mentioned already, Governor Pritzker signed into law the End of Life Options for Terminally Ill Patients Act, granting terminally ill patients who have received a diagnosis of 6 months to live or less, it gives them the ability to end their own life medically. This is probably termed something like death with dignity. A death that would avoid not just the person's own suffering, but the suffering of the people around them, the suffering of their family too, for, nobody should suffer, should they? We don't want that to happen. We don't want anybody to feel bad or worry or have to be put out or anything of that nature. It seems that in our society, death has become the preferred option to maintain self-determination and the main option to maintain also what you might call quality of life. You know it, and I know it. There are factions within our society who would advocate for abortion based on the perceived future quality of life of the unborn child. Now then, who becomes the decider of quality of life? Is it a certain level of mobility? By mobility, do you mean physical mobility or social mobility? If a person is to be born in what would be conceived as poverty, should we deny them life based on a guess regarding their social mobility? If a person is to be born, the same thing could be said of physical mobility. If a person is born with a condition that might preclude them from running or jumping or, maybe fully realizing what they can do physically, is that enough to render their quality of life ineffective? Well, it's a good question. I don't know if many people ask those questions. questions. Who gets to decide what the threshold of quality of life is? Right? Does mom get to decide? Dad? The state? Who gets to decide where that threshold of quality of life is? It's like, I was thinking about this the other day, it's like somebody saying, boy, if I had different parents, my life would be so different. You know, my life would be so much better if I had different, you wouldn't be here if you didn't have the parents you got. Like, you wouldn't be you. You wouldn't exist in the shape and form that you exist in right now. To think like that is just silliness and goofiness. How does the legislature of our state get to set 6 months as the deciding factor? What's the magic number with 6 months there? What about somebody who's diagnosed with multiple sclerosis or Lou Gehrig's disease, that is ALS? Why do they have to endure all of that suffering up to the 6 month mark before they can end their lives at 6 months? If personal autonomy is the deciding factor, then who are we to say that feelings and emotions and depression and perceived oppression aren't reason enough to end one's own life? How broken are we that we have come to the point, to the conclusion, that death is the preferred answer to life's problems? And before we sit back and claim that we are immune from the tide of culture that brings death as a problem solver, let us examine ourselves. Oh, it's true, I'm sure, that it's very rare that a Christian would grab a knife or a firearm to go and eliminate a difficult relationship. Yet, as those affected by life in a fallen world, I bet the numbers are pretty strong that people have thought, even Christian people have thought in the following way. Right? I will bet, to use a word, that there are plenty of people who've watched decades. They've watched their parents' marriage for decades upon decades, and watched their parents, you know, the person they're married to, and the person they're married to is kind of actually a jerk. And they've had the thought cross their minds, if only mom would die, then dad could be set free. Or if only mom would outlive dad, then she'd get a chance to try again and have a happy marriage. Many is the dutiful son or daughter who is a caregiver to an ailing and failing parent, who's had in a moment of physical and mental exhaustion the thought that if only the parent would close their eyes and fall asleep, then all the exhaustion, everything would just fade away. I'll even bet that thoughts like that are higher when you're the local caregiver and your siblings are the ones who live out of town. And they're not the ones who are fielding the 5 a.m. phone calls from the ailing mother or the ailing father. And they're not there to be the ones, your cousins or your brother or sister, that is, aren't there to take mom or dad to the cancer treatment center and to the doctor's office and to all the appointments that they're going to. And then your sibling swoops into town, right? They swoop into town and they declare that after a few hours of sitting around the kitchen table, that mom's doing just fine, and they don't understand what all your fussing is about. And then they disappear for another 4 months. We even wish for the death of relationships, the death of marriages, anything that causes stress or uneasiness in our life. Having seen enough of this, you know, I've come to the conclusion that we ought not to wish for the death of anything, because death will come all too soon on its own, and it will arrive not by itself, but it will come with a host of unholy cohorts, not the least of which is guilt. Satan will grab hold of your errant thoughts and use them to accuse you before yourself. Use you to accuse yourself of wishing someone would be dead, and perhaps that wish tainted your decisions and your actions. Did I agree to comfort care too soon? Did we allow morphine to be administered unto death? Did I actually kill my own parent to alleviate my own discomfort? Have I wished that a child hadn't been born? You see, death isn't the answer to the problems. There's only one death that has provided a permanent solution to a problem, and that, as you know, is the death of Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came to free us from the guilt of our sins. He came to pay the penalty for our rebellion against God. He did not come to say it's okay to our sins, but He came to fully pay for them, and to remove them from us by the one who has the power of death, Satan himself. Jesus became a man just as we are. He became a true human being with flesh and blood, yet without sin. And now that Jesus is crowned with glory and honor, Jesus is crowned because of the particular suffering and death he endured, a sacrificial death, a death that atoned for all of our sins. Jesus, as the Lamb of God, died in our place. God's purpose was that Jesus should taste death for all people, in order that all people might have the glory and honor that Jesus earned. Jesus underwent death and all of its bitterness for us. He did not sip death. He drained it to its bitter dregs, going to the cross for our benefit. And now He beckons to us through our suffering, and through His suffering and His death, that we would enter into His glory. This one singular death of God's Son did in fact cure a problem. His death destroyed death, that we, believing in Christ Jesus, would have redemption and forgiveness of all of our sins. This is God's plan and God's choice put in place before the world was created. That is, the means of redemption is the blood that was shed by His precious and only Son. What then does all of this mean for our stance on life? We believe and confess that all life has value and all life has worth. It means that in those who suffer, we have an opportunity to show Christian care and Christian love for those who are hurting in both body and soul. It means our sins against life, our errant thoughts of self-pity, even our sin of self-loathing at those sins are all forgiven. It means we stand for life. It means that we look to the Scripture and say we are not our own. We are bought at a price. We belong to our Creator, and we are His. We prize and care for life, from conception to its natural death. And when it comes to life issues, we are always to care and never to kill. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we will have the installation of our officers for this year. I invite those of you who are officers elected to positions at the voters' meeting in October to come forward for installation. At this time, I invite you to, for a second, turn and face the congregation and state your name and the office that you hold, starting with Rod here.
Rod Meyer, Congregational President.
Peggy Meyer, Chairperson of Board of Christian Education.
Stacey McConnell, School Board.
Jesse Cash, Property Maintenance.
Melissa Gray, School Board Chairperson.
Dora Thompson, Recording Secretary.
Doug Sheila, Treasurer.
Please turn and face the altar. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done in decency and in good order. To that end, the Constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In so doing, the Church follows the example of the early Christian Church as described in Acts chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." You have each been elected to serve as servants and board members of our congregation. You have been chosen to fill specific offices and positions of responsibility here at Zion Lutheran Church. You are to work with the pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in God's sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper times, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in the caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you as office bearers in his church show yourselves by word and example to be faithful in him in service and in Christian devotion. In the presence of God in this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the office entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do. Beloved in the Lord, members of Zion Lutheran Church, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and these women who have been elected to serve as officers of our congregation. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that he may be glorified and his work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, I therefore install you as officers of Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The Almighty and most merciful God enlighten and strengthen you in your offices, that you may be good and faithful stewards to the glory of his name and to the good of his people. Amen. We'll invite the congregation to rise for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them by your Holy Spirit those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation. Strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and now have completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we, with all your faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast and be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless you and preserve you. Amen. I ask you now to return to your pews, and we continue the service with our prayers of the day. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Almighty Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you have fearfully and wonderfully made us. You have created and redeemed and called every member of our race from fertilization to forever. No matter what age, appearance, or ability, lend us your Holy Spirit that our lips may sound it forth with courage and our lives may show it forth in compassion. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In your book are written, Lord God, every one of our days. Receive our thankfulness for the birthdays and the anniversaries celebrated among us this week. And strengthen us by the blessings to appreciate each neighbor as a gift and privilege. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You have searched us and see every grievous way in us. Forgive us for any hesitance in assisting our neighbors endangered by sinful measures such as abortion and assisted suicide. Grant the vulnerable ones protection and rescue. Grant our land reprieve from these evils, and grant repentance to all who permit or promote them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your all-encompassing presence and power hems us in behind and before. Work wisdom, commitment, and integrity in our officials and elected representatives, that they may exercise your authority to restrain vice and reward virtue. Secure for us a safe, free, and fair nation, wherein we implement the sanctity of every human life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear Father in heaven, even as darkness is light to you, let your relief and healing rest upon those among our number with injuries, with illnesses, and any other ailments of body or soul. We especially pray this day for Rachel Bright as the day of her delivering the twins comes ever nearer. We pray that you would walk with her this next month and that you would see to a safe delivery for her children. Draw near in the consolation of those experiencing surprise pregnancy, a terminal diagnosis, infertility, abuse, or abandonment, that they may find hope and joy in your kingdom. For Jesus' sake, take away the guilt and shame of our hearts broken by those who suffer from the abortion of their own children. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lead us, O Savior, in the way of life everlasting. Unite us in your Son as brothers and sisters, sharing faith and fellowship unto abundant and eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in this Life Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Please rise for the singing of our offertory. We give thee but thine own. Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Amen.
Amen.
The closing hymn is number 877, God Who Made the Earth and Heaven, hymn number 877 in the Lutheran Service Book.
One announcement this morning. Voters meeting, 7 p.m. Tuesday in the auditorium. So 7 p.m. Tuesday evening, voters meeting in the auditorium. Please check your Zion's Light and your bulletins for any other announcements and events going on at church and school. May the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Megan. I didn't see you sneaking down there.
Good morning, pancake and sausages, 2 weeks away. Yay! This will be our 50th pancake and sausage breakfast. We're very much looking forward to it. If you would like to sponsor this event, we're asking that sponsorships try to be turned into the school, Elizabeth Rage, by the end of the week. We're always looking for donations for silent auction and for the bake sale. And if you would like to volunteer for the event, come see me.
Thank you. Thank you.
This group activity is postponed from today till next Sunday morning for card making.
Okay. All right. So I don't know if you heard, but your youth group card making is postponed from this Sunday to next Sunday.